Well, speaking of children, what's up with kids? Are they all wild, promiscuous teenagers who are having children out of wedlock because marriage doesn't matter anymore? Are they all alpha males who are watching the latest Eastern European guy who converted to Islam? Are they all demi furries who are going to anime conventions because Western art is dead? Or are they normal? What's up with those kids?
Well, I think, see, okay, so there's kind of two ways that people want me to talk about this, I find. Everyone either wants me to be a black-pilled pessimist and be like, the world's getting worse, everything sucks, give up, it's all going to hell. Or they want me to say, hey, no, it's the same problems we've always had. No, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad out there. Like, I think it's okay for us to do that. Like, I think some pastors try to overgo the other way and say, like, no, this is just, nothing's new under the sun. This is kind of new for us. I don't think it's new for the world. I would point back to the fall of Rome, which is part of the reason why I'm like, yeah, I don't think the US is going to last much longer. But it's pretty bad. Like we can say that. We can step out and say that. But I would also say that, like, among the students who are reached, my youth group, I am very pleased with the students who are in my youth ministry. And is that because I'm awesome? No. Is that because I just happen to get lucky? No. It's because when you don't soft pedal them, when you give them the full octane word of God, they latch onto it and they love it. You give them a mission. Like, that's, I think that's the thing that, like, why is Andrew Tate so popular? Oh, sorry, I shouldn't have said his name. But you shall not be named.
Our algorithm's going to go up, actually.
Actually, yeah. What Andrew, you're going to title this, What Andrew Tate Can Tell Us About Christianity. The
Andrew
reason
Tate
he's so
Gospel.
popular, he gives us, he is he, I think there is, especially among young men, a desire for mission, a desire to feel like they're part of something bigger than themselves. This is why men love sports. This is why men love movements. You know, this is, there's a desire
Braveheart.
to,
That's why we like Braveheart.
yeah, to feel like you're part of something bigger than yourself. And if we can show them how that Christianity is that, they get excited about that. I think give your student a mission, give your children a mission, give them a vision of a better world and say that this is attainable. You know, Christ is still the one who, with a sword in his mouth, is marching and conquering this world. He is still the one who had all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. He is still the one who is with us everywhere to the end of the world, to the end of the age. He is still that same conqueror, the one who's filling all in all through his church. Like, that is huge. And there is something massive and something great about that. And you give them that mission and you say, and he has equipped you specially somehow to do that. Because that's really what the LGBTQ movement is doing, is making them feel like they're part of something bigger than themselves. Unfortunately, because the devil subverts and destroys, he's doing that by androgynous means and by destroying the masculinity in men and the femininity in women, and by killing that, making them feel part of something bigger. But what Andrew Tate is showing is, yeah, for one thing, men want, oh my gosh, I'm blanked on his name. The other guy, 12 Rules for Living,
Jordan Peterson.
Jordan Peterson. What they're all telling men is that it is good for you to be a man. What are they hearing in the church? The opposite of that. That if you really want to be spiritual, you need to look a little feminine. This is the second corollary of what I was saying earlier about the way we're telling pastors to preach very like this and very heartfelt, like you're a woman. And that's how we explain spirituality. The spirituality is something very feminine. Give men permission to be masculine and to do it for the glory of God, and say, but your masculinity is not some bravado, not some disgusting thing. Like, honestly, Andrew Tate, like, honestly, I think man is disgusting. horribly immoral but what he's tapping into is a real thing that we need to learn from, is that we have the better answer. We know the God who made men and said, it is very good. He said, it is very good for you to be men. And I think also you're seeing a similar thing with women, with the trad wife movement, which is resulting, I think, in some kind of terrible ways of, like, I'm seeing this trend of, like, women playing house with their boyfriends and bringing them sandwiches while they're playing video games and being like, come on, if he's not leading you in the gospel now, he's not going to do it when he puts a ring on your finger. And also, why would he put a ring on your finger when you're giving him all the perks of being a wife without ever actually expecting him to make you his wife? But there's I think there too is we can tap into this desire of, like, you know what, they want to be embrace their femininity, and we have the gospel, we have the word of God, which says that God created the masculine ones and the feminine ones. That's what, like, the Hebrew there, it's not the regular word for men and women. It is the masculine ones and the feminine ones. So he made us in our masculinity and our femininity, and he made that very good in all that aspects. And that's why I will never stop encouraging, I don't have the book close to me, but I will never stop encouraging the book, It's Good to Be a Man by Michael Foster and Dominic Tennant. Never mind. You'll find it. It's Good to Be a Man. I will never stop encouraging that book because it is not some false bravado, masculine swagger book. It is very serious. And that's what is very serious about, is getting back to the heart of what it means to be a man for the glory of God. And I think when you present that to youth, they catch that vision. Like, my students, because I so heavily emphasized training in evangelism, training in discipleship of others, I focus hard on that. I've got students who weekly are coming up to me being like, hey, I had this conversation with an unbeliever and they asked me this question, why should I answer them? Hey, I was talking to someone and they asked me this question about the Bible, what would you say to them? Hey, I'm trying to start a conversation with this friend, what do you think I should do? And hey, I had this conversation and they're thinking about the gospel, can you pray for me? And it's all because I gave them a mission. Instead of treating the youth like a problem that needs to be solved, this is the thing, oh, churches, you got to hear this. Instead of treating the youth like a problem that needs to be solved, treat them as people who are looking for a mission. Give them a mission. Give them the mission and watch them go. Because, like, we had VBS in our church 2 months ago, and we had like four adults involved. All the rest were youth. Yeah, all the rest were high schoolers leading. Same.
Yeah, high schoolers. I could not imagine being with kids as a high schooler. I was way too cool for school, and I was nowhere near close to even remotely spelling cool with a K, let alone being cool. So it was really neat to see, like, 130 people, volunteers for my church, and like 70% of them were high school youth.
And here's such a cool story. And I haven't talked to the student yet because I just heard about it literally this week. There's a student involved in our youth ministry. I try not to say kids. That's a whole other thing. There's a student in our youth ministry who came up because one of our other students in the youth ministry shared the gospel with him when he was at VBS. And we were driving home and he said, yeah, I thought about, like, if I were to have kids, I would probably name one. And he said this kid's name, like, oh, after the book of the Bible. Yeah, them. And also the student. I'm like, that is so cool.
Wow.
And this kid is kind of a loser. Like, this kid I'm talking about, he's like, he's not one of those kids that, like, it's cool to hang out with. But, like, those are the people who Christ went after. And so that you give them the mission and you watch them go. And they're just so serious about pursuing pursuing young people younger than them with the gospel. So I didn't even tell them to sign up for a sports camp this year. They just did it. And they just did it. That's what we do for BBS, but they just did it. And it was amazing. And watching them get excited about, like, coming up to me and be like, I just had a conversation about the gospel with one of the kids in our group, and just give them a mission. Stop treating them like a problem that needs to be solved. And give them space to run and give them a mission, and also stop playing stupid games with them.
All right. No licking peanut butter underneath armpits.
be serious. They know this is more serious than that. They know that this is flippant nonsense and that it's a waste of time. So give them the real stuff and give them a mission, you know? Yeah.